Hello, everybody. Come on in.
How's it going, Chris?
It's going good. It's going good, Des. How are you?
Thanks.
We'll just wait a second for everyone else to join us, and then we'll get into tonight's call.
Tony Collard here.
Sorry I didn't get that, but I'm sure someone said they're excited to be here.
I'm always excited. Can't you tell?
There we go. Well, welcome everybody. Wednesday night call, the first call of the month of December. The last call I will be a part of for this month here. And this is a very unique month for a lot of people. It is December. It's the Christmas month. It's the holiday season. And we'll be discussing how to navigate through the holiday season. Before we get into that, what I'd like to do is open the floor up to people that are on this call here to share some wins. Some wins since the last time. It's been about 3 weeks that I've been on here with you guys. Please unmute yourself and let me know what some of your wins have been within your training, your lifestyle, whatever. What do we got? Bamshi, any training wins for you? Anything? Well, there we are. Bamshi's getting some steps in.
So I've been on the cut phase. I lost around 17 pounds in 9 days.
What's that? You lost 17 pounds?
Yes.
Where'd it go?
Yeah, so I was 164. So today morning I weighed in 147.
Now, are you trying to get super lean or did something happen?
No, I was just getting ready for the Costa Rica trip. Like I wanted to cut towards the end of the year because I was
Yeah.
bulking. So last year when I was in Costa Rica, I was 136.
Oh, okay, so you're still bigger than last year.
Yes, and
Yeah.
bigger and leaner. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Are you in Costa Rica right now?
Oh no, I'm going this Sunday.
Okay,
Next week, yeah.
awesome. Okay, excellent. Well, congratulations. Good for you. How do you feel being at that weight with that muscle?
I actually feel like, I don't know, I feel like cognitively more functional. Like, I'm not foggy or anything, especially in the beginning. But right now I'm fighting the cravings and everything towards the end. So can you hear me properly, sir? There is a lot of wind.
No, you're kind of cutting in and out as if you're in a tunnel or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of wind and I don't have a proper signal. So what I was trying to say was, I'm actually feeling very good being light. Yeah, so I think I don't have that mind fog. I can think clearly, right? The only thing that I see towards the end of the goal is I'm having a lot of cravings, which I'm trying to
Cravings.
be, yeah, with the salt and everything. So that's what the coach says, suggested that you have a lot of sodium and everything. Yeah.
Are there some foods you find out there that make you feel satiated longer than others?
Oh, yes, the MCT oil, that actually, MCT oil, that actually keeps me full for a long time.
Yeah.
So if I make a smoothie or anything that I need to add a spoon of MCT oil, I don't feel hungry for like next 5, 6 hours.
Yeah, that's good. I'm a big believer in eating fat to feel satiated. So if a big steak comes out in front of you and you don't want to eat the fat and we're having dinner together and cut it off, just pass it my way. But I find that fat fills me a long time. Whole eggs, beef tallow, butter, those things can keep me satiated a long time. I mean, the calories of eggs are so small. The average egg is only 70 calories. But if you gave me, and a lot of people, 6 eggs for a meal, that's gonna give people 4, 5, 6, 7 hours of satiation, depending on who they are and stuff. But if you think about that, that's less than 500 calories. But it's just that pure combination of protein and fat and that type of food. Sometimes some foods take longer to break down for the body, and it's almost like premium fuel, contrast to I mean, you give me protein bars for years, have always tasted good, but they tend to wear off about an hour later, even if the calories are high. So I think there's something more to sustainability with more high quality foods, whole foods, over any processed foods. Protein bars are. I don't know how long everyone's been into fitness on this call here. Andrew, I know you've been around a long time and stuff. Does anyone remember the like old school protein bars? Like the original protein, they tasted like crap. They taste like chalk. Like nobody wanted to eat two. And then I remember it was probably 2006. I had an Oh Yeah bar. And I remember looking at the packaging and I opened it and I looked at the Oh Yeah bar and I was like, this looks like an O. Henry. And I took a bite of it and straight up, it was an O. Henry with 20 grams of protein somewhere in there. It tasted identical to the O. Henry bar. Yeah, chewing your protein shakes back in the day. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cool.
I have one question, Chris, on the same thing that you mentioned about the saturating with the fat. So if I'm on 50 grams of fat, right? So how do I incorporate this fatty state, or how do I cut the carbs out, or like,
So repeat that again. Or did you say that? I'm sorry, let's repeat it again. I didn't hear it.
I'm on 50 grams of fat right now. So how do I incorporate this fatty state?
If you're trying to say to a specific caloric load per day, then if one goes up, one goes down to stay at the same numbers. So obviously, fat has more calories per gram compared to carbohydrates. So if you drop down your carbohydrates, but then bumped up your fat to make the difference, that's good. But then you could also outsource low caloric carbohydrates. So one of my favorite low caloric carbohydrates is actually blueberries. Per serving of the berries, there's not a lot per serving, yet the fiber content per serving is significantly higher than a lot of other fruits. So what ends up happening is the carbohydrate content of it ends up being a little bit low because when you combine a fiber with a carbohydrate, it almost like reduces it 1 gram to 1 gram. What ends up happening is it allows you to feel fuller a little bit longer as well. And then you could still bump up the calories from fat. So blueberries are like one of my favorite go-tos for people who want to have carbohydrates, but low amounts. And if you eat them frozen, you'll actually eat them slower. Because you can't put so much frozen into your mouth at one time. It's kind of harder to chew. So if you freeze your blueberries and take them out and eat them frozen, it's a nice way to get a lot of carbohydrates, but it's actually a little bit of carbohydrates. And then you can bump your fat up elsewhere. Does that help?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. Coach Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I was in Utah over the weekend, saw the family. But yeah, stuff's good. I saw your little one doing a triple for his opener.
Yeah, that was the, you know, he competed earlier in the summer. I just got the video recently and I posted it. So in the sport of powerlifting, for everyone that doesn't know, you get one rep for each lift, three attempts, one rep. So my youngest guy is 8 years old. So when I was talking to him beforehand, we always talk about the opening attempt you're gonna do, buddy. This is something you could do for three easy. Trust me, this is the right number. You could do this for three, no problem. And I kept repeating the number three. And then he goes out to take his opener, and he's the first person lifting. So he didn't even get to see anyone else. Usually, when I coach people, I walk them out and I show them someone else lifting and I talk about things. He was the first one to go, and he walks out with the bar, and they give him the squat command, and he goes down and up, and he goes down and up, and he goes down and up. He does it for a triple. And it's like, oh. And the best part, which was also the worst part, was one of the referees gave him like white lights, which means the lift is good. And I'm like looking at him like, no, you can't do that. It's an infraction. He's like, I didn't know. He's a kid. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, no, it was good. He smoked it. That was good. Des, how you doing? You got a win for us?
Yeah, just kind of continuing mobility stuff and unlocking stuff every week. I feel like my lifts are improving by just like controlling my lifts a lot more. And it's starting to, there's something in my body that's kind of unlocking the last 3 or 4 days. It's been pretty cool. My thoracic and my hips and stuff. So definitely seeing a lot of progress at the minute.
What kind of lifts are you trying to improve on?
Squat. Try to open up the hips for the squat. So I'll be doing lunges, Bulgarian split squats, all that kind of stuff. So I never thought I would say I enjoy lunges, but I enjoy lunges now. I've been doing them every day pretty much for the last 6, 7 months. So
Right. What are you enjoying about them? Is the fact that you can do a variety of them, you're seeing improvement in them, your range seems to load them.
It's always something I've struggled with, squats and feeling comfortable in that position. Like it's always been like just horrible to be there, and just started kind of like leaning into the uncomfortableness. And now that I can be in that position and feel relatively comfortable, it feels more enjoyable now, and starting to improve my strength in that area. And then that ties off to other things in life, like even swimming. I've started swimming, so. Just noticing the difference in my hips moving in the swimming pool and my golf swings, it's been pretty cool to see.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Happy to hear that. Another win. iPhone 2. Not sure who that is. This is iPhone 2 and there's no camera on. Would you like to unmute yourself, share a win of the week? Or just take in what we're going to talk about all week? Or I'll call. Okay. I guess win for me. You saw my little guy was lifting. That was kind of cool. What wins? I haven't been on here in 3 weeks. What did I do? I competed in a High Rocks competition in Chicago. I went down there with a goal of improving my time and hopefully trying to squeak onto the podium. And I did. I improved my time by almost 4 minutes, and I finished second place overall. So that made me feel pretty good about it. And then I was a tourist in Chicago for 2 days. That's a cool little city. So that, I guess, is my win. And I've even convinced my wife to sign up and do one of those competitions in February and then again in April. So we got two more for the start of the year. So that should be fun. And that's us.
Chris, where's the one in February?
February, it's in Quebec. Quebec. Yeah, you coming?
No, I didn't. I couldn't remember the date, but I did see that High Rocks is coming to Vegas, and I wasn't sure when on the schedule it was. So I was double checking that you weren't swinging through Vegas. So.
No, I didn't get into the Vegas one on time. That would have been a much more pleasant trip than, not that there's anything wrong with it. I've never been to Atlanta, but if I could choose the two, I would go to Vegas over Atlanta any day. But
Yeah,
man,
good call.
these things, they sell out like within like a week. Like 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people, boom, they just sign up. So the one I signed up for is in the end of April, and I signed up for it yesterday. And it opened yesterday. It's gonna be full within 5 days. It's a one dayer, so it's a popular sport right now. Anywho, that changes kind of my mindset for the month of December, because I have a different intention with my training with something coming up. So I have to prioritize my plan, and at the same time, it's December. So December being a holiday month is usually different for a lot of people. December is also the month where the average person gains the most amount of body fat. You know why? It's social events, it's alcohol, it's more food, more good quality food. It's maybe just social interactions with friends and family, and these things come to light. It might be skipping other things, maybe not gymming it because you want to go to a Christmas party or something along those lines. It can also be hard for people as well, depending on where you live. Some places they shut down gyms. People don't have access to go exercise. For some people, December, the weather is really bad where they live, and all of a sudden outdoor activities are less likely to happen. For some people, the month of December can be a depressive month. Maybe they don't like to celebrate the holidays. Maybe they got something personal going on. Maybe they've lost someone over that time period, and all of a sudden they're in a little bit more of a sad state, depressed state. In that scenario, they might lean towards not exercising, lean towards alcohol, lean towards more food, something along those lines. The month of December is going to be challenging, usually for everyone in one level of fitness or not. So we're going to talk today about, I got a top 10 list of ways to navigate your fitness over the holidays. Now, this call is really small, so we can probably just go from person to person in here. And with the month of December, if you can think of something that creates a challenge for you that you're not going to see in November, you're not going to see in September, something there, would you please unmute yourself and go one at a time? I'll start with Des. Is there one challenge in the month of December that you see that's going to affect your training goals that you have?
Probably just the food, I guess. But yeah, I think everything will just remain pretty similar. I keep a kind of pretty similar structure regardless of the month. So hope if the gym, I'm pretty sure the gym's open all of Christmas besides a couple of days. So hopefully everything should just fall into place. Maybe like some events where my friends try and like gather and stuff. Maybe some alcohol and stuff, but I've kind of stopped taking drinking alcohol, so it should be a problem, hopefully.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the food here because guess what? That's on one of my top 10, how to navigate the food. Okay, cool. Famshi, what about you, my friend?
So for me, obviously, but I have to stay up late in the gatherings, social gatherings. But actually ruin my schedule next time. So I have to stay up late beyond past like 11 a.m., 11 p.m. or 12 p.m. And the next day is ruined because I'm a morning person. And if I skip the gym in the morning, I might skip it for the day.
Gotcha. Okay, so Vamshi was saying that sleep, staying up late because of social events is going to be one of his challenges. Okay, that's good. We'll discuss that. Andrew, what about yourself or does some of your guys, there's some stuff that's already come up?
The only thing I can think of for myself would be we do Elf on the Shelf in our house, and so it's not going to cut into anything, but if I don't have stuff in order for the morning, cutting into my morning routine, if I don't have a plan for waking up ahead of the family and putting the Elf in a new spot with a different story.
So you get up in the morning before the family does, and then you do it. Do you go to bed last? Like, could you do it before you go to bed?
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could, but.
Well, I'm right there with you. I got the two boys. We got the elf on the shelf, and my wife and I usually alternate, but because I'm going to Costa Rica next week, she goes, "You're on every night." Until so I do it at night. I do it at night. My kids go to bed around 8 or 9, and then I do it, and then I go to bed. Just because, man, for me to get up in the morning and be like, oh, what should I do? Especially if like they tiptoe downstairs, I wouldn't be able to do that. So maybe, I don't know, maybe try that before now. What are you doing tonight? I might copy it.
To be determined still.
Okay, I had my boys are really big into chess right now. They're a bit like addicted to it. And they're good. I'm not great at chess. I kind of forgot how to play. They started playing, then I started playing with them. I was doing pretty good with an 8-3 record. And I told them if I can get to 30 in a row wins, I'll retire. And then they beat me like every three games. And then all of a sudden I lose four in a row. So they're into chess. They play a lot. So I set up, we actually have two elves. We have one elf we named Winky. And Winky was a bit of a pervert because when Winky came around, my only child at the time was just a baby. So the mother and I just made little dirty things to do with Winky. And then we have a second kid, and everyone gets a little older, and then we can't find it one year. So we have to go and buy another one. And so we buy another one, and then we find the other one. So the kids find two elves. They're like, what's this? And I'm like, it's Winky's friend, Wanky. So. We got Winky and Wanky now, and they're a little more PG now that my boys are older. But yeah, chess is what we did. We had them playing chess and cheating the other night. So,
Too funny, man.
yeah.
Too funny.
Okay, so those are some of the things that might come up in the month of December. I'll go over my thing that'll come up in the month of December that I need to navigate around. With the month of December coming up, I need to get in cardiovascular work, cardiovascular conditioning with my next High Rock sporting event coming up. In that sport, my area where I need work is the conditioning. It's not the strength stuff. So I love to do strength training. We're going to Costa Rica next week. There's going to be a lot of strength stuff going on there, hypertrophy stuff going on there, but those are not the things I need to work on right now. So my plan is, in the last time we went to Costa Rica, the coaches got up in the morning, we went, we trained early, and then we coached all the guys throughout the day. So my goal is to write out my training program and then to make sure I do that regardless if, like, you know, Gavin wants to do delts or something, or Greg wants to sit in the pool. Regardless what the other guys want to do, I got to do my conditioning in the morning, and then I'll join them for other stuff later. So I just get it done early, which is one of my top 10 here. Get it done early. To get it out of the way, Des, you have a question. What does conditioning programming look like? Conditioning program for me specifically looks like 52% of a High Rocks event is done through running. So if I can increase my 1K time on a run, it's 8 1Ks. If nothing else gets better, I'll still have a better time for my race. So I have to increase my running ability. So I run 3 times a week, one day on, one day off, one day on, one day off, one day on, and then 2 days off. And I do 3 variations of runs. I do a threshold running session, which is I accumulate as much fatigue as I can in my legs, and I try to run on them. So this would look like one workout that I did is I will run a K, and then I'll get off an assault runner. So it's like resistance running, back squat 20 reps. And I'll do 5 rounds of that. There's no rest. It's like when you're done, you're done. So 1K, 20 reps, 1K, 20 reps, 5 rounds. Your legs are just destroyed when you try to do your run. I'll mix that in with prowler work as well, or high rep lunges with running. The second run that I do is a slow and long run. It's an 8K, nasal breathing only. It's the worst exercise I do all week, and I fucking hate it. I like to exercise like I have ADHD. I like variety. I like different things going on. I like loud noises. I don't like doing something boring and long and slow. Literally, like, it's harder than ice baths. Like, I even have friends in my circle, and I'll message them. I'm like, would you join me on an 8K? I have zero desire to do this. And that actually is another one of my top 10, how you can utilize friends and stuff to keep me not motivated, because I don't care to have the motivation to do it. I need the discipline. And if I can leverage another person with me, then I will finish it, and it won't feel as awful. Without the other person, I'll still do it, and it'll just be more awful because I don't like it. The third run that I do is I do sprints. So I alternate week to week with 400 sprints with 2 minute breaks, and I will do 10 of those, or I'll do 1 kilometer sprints with a 2 minute break as well.
I'm just gonna sit here.
You're just gonna sit there.
Yeah, because Jackson won't stop.
What's he doing? Throw stuff at you. Okay. He can't throw stuff at you in here. I'm working. Daddy's working. Okay. So okay. Well, my oldest is in here because my youngest is throwing stuff at him. So that's what my running looks like for my High Rocks conditioning, and all the other stuff I just maintain, and I'll be fine with that. So back to the ways to navigate over the fitness holidays. So the first thing that I would suggest anyone do is all the decisions you make have to be related to the goals you want to achieve within your health and your fitness. So all of us on this call here, we probably have goals. Those goals should be written down somewhere. I love the idea of telling someone what one of your goals is. I've told you all here, my goals over the holidays to increase my running 3 times a week. I got to do it early in the morning when I'm at Costa Rica. When I come back home, it won't be so bad. Those are my goals I told you. But if I tell you once, like, Andrew, you might see me and then bring it up. But Des, I'm not going to see you for a month. You know, iPhone 2, I don't even know who you are. So I'm probably not going to see you either. But what if I had to see those goals every day? If every day I had to see those goals, I'm going to get that reminder of why I should or shouldn't do certain actions. So how do we do that? You write it down on a piece of paper. You write it, you put it on a sticky note. You put it on your fridge. You put it on the mirror where you shave your head every day. Wherever you're going to see something on a regular basis, that's where you put your goal. Don't write it down and then put it in the drawer. Don't put it in your journal that you only look at like once a week. Put it somewhere where you're gonna see every day. I've talked about this book before. I'm sure a few of us have already read it here. Atomic Habits by James Clear. In that book, he talks about doing habit stacking. When you want to develop a habit, combine it with something you already do on a regular basis. A great example would be we brush our teeth on a daily basis. So what if I took a sticky note and I had my goals written on that sticky note, and I put it on the mirror where I brush my teeth every day. Every day I'm going to be reminded of my goals. Internally, that is going to keep me on track for what I want to accomplish with my goals. So put your goals somewhere visible is number one tip. Make sure you can see it over the Christmas holidays. Any questions regarding that? Has anyone done anything similar to that before? Andrew, have you done anything different with any of your guys?
Same thing, man. I personally, I have a whiteboard, and I'll write on my whiteboard. So.
Nice. Good. Awesome. Number two, plan your workouts accordingly. So this is scheduling them in, looking at times, contacting the gym to see what their hours are. So Des, you said to me, you said, I'm pretty sure my gym is open. What I would rather hear you say is, I know my gym is open on those days. And if it's not open, you can plan around it. Okay, so it's not open on 25th. I normally train on, I don't know what the day is. 25th is maybe a Tuesday or Saturday, whatever. If you normally train on that day, you could move your training. Say, okay, I'm not going to work out on that day. The gym's closed. I'm going to work out the day before. I'm going to work out on Boxing Day. Adjust your training program. So for my guys, I've already asked them. And I said, you got to find out if you have access to working out over that week. And if you don't, we have to plan around that. Your exercise program does not have to be set in stone all the time, depending on what your goals are. If somebody's goal is to gain muscle mass, you're probably going to want to be doing some form of bodybuilding style training, muscle groups, splits, hypertrophy work. So if your gym is closed and you say, I'm just going to go and run a 10K, that's not going to be the same stimulus for that specific goal. You might be better off doubling up your volume the session before, doing a two a day the session before, and then taking that day off to eat, rest, and grow. But if your objective was, like Vamshi, if he wants to drop some body fat, doesn't have access to the gym, he could use that day to do some form of cardiovascular work. He could just do a circuit with his body weight. He could do some cardio running, something along those lines, a hike, whatever. But it's got to also play in tune with what your goals are, what you're trying to achieve when it comes to your fitness. Failing to plan is just planning to fail. So look at the workouts you want to get done this month and then make sure you can get them done over the schedule you have. Does that make sense to everyone? Pretty simple as long as it gets done. Number three, I mentioned this before about the one thing I hate about running is long, slow running is utilizing a friend. Use a workout buddy. Get a workout buddy. Explain to your workout buddy what you're trying to achieve and why it's going to be a challenge, say, over the holidays. You might have a bunch of family come in town, or you might have to go out to another town to see other family. If you've got someone on the other side that is into fitness, reach out to them in advance. Be like, hey, I work out regularly. I heard you start working out. Like, where do you go? Can we work out together? Can we set that up? Or if you have a friend with some time off in your town, in your area, invite them to the gym. Some people like to wait till January 1st, but you know what? A lot of people have holiday time. They got time off in December. It's not a bad time to start going to the gym instead of waiting till January. So using a workout buddy is an easy way to navigate around the problems and issues that we have over the holidays. So definitely grab a workout buddy if possible. The fourth thing is getting it done early. Hey, Michael, are you playing a musical instrument right now? Could you stop, please? Okay. I can still hear it. Number four, get it done early. The reason why I suggest getting it done early is the holiday season is a little bit more unpredictable than the other months of the year. The other months of the year, usually we all know what we're doing. We got a work schedule to do, you got a family schedule, you got a social schedule, but all of a sudden the holiday schedule can be different. Someone would be like, hey, we're going sledding here, bring an eggnog. Johnny's got the rum. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I was going to work out at 4 p.m. okay, fine, I'll skip the gym and I'm gonna go, you know, sledding with some friends and such. So because it's a little bit unpredictable, I highly suggest getting it done early. Maybe when other people are still sleeping, if you have that option, get up earlier than you normally do, just to get it done. And once it's done, the day is now yours. You got your workout in. Getting it done early can also relate to nutrition. So you can front load your earlier meals if you know you're going to be maybe in a situation where you might not be able to get all the macros you want. So an example could look like, hey, Thursday night, we're going to Aunt Diane's and she's making her pierogies. And these are famous Christmas pierogies. And you're like, well, pierogies doesn't work for my fitness goals that I have here. There's no protein in them that's going to be adequate. So I got to get my protein numbers up earlier in the day. So what you would do is you'd look at your normal nutrition plan and just stack your breakfast with more protein, your lunch with more protein. Get it done earlier in the day. If your objective is to hit, say, 180 grams of protein a day before you go to Aunt Diane's for pierogies, and you hit 165 before you go there, hey, you're sitting pretty. Smash a protein shake on the drive over and you've already hit your numbers. So whatever you have for pierogies isn't really going to matter. But get it done early. So if you got targets within your training, get it done earlier in the day and it's going to set you up for more success for all the unknowns and the variables we don't know about. Does that make sense to everyone? Anything to add there, Andrew?
Pretty spot on, man. So I don't know if this is something that you're going to say next, but for a lot of my guys, I'll tell them, like, if they're going to parties and stuff like that, and if they've got Vamchi, to your point earlier about having a sweet tooth, like sticking to like zones of eating. So like, don't eat around the spread. So like, you pick one specific spot and that's where you eat. You don't pick food off of the spread. You eat what's on your plate and that's it. So put it on the plate, have a plan around it. Go find your seat and then eat your food and enjoy it.
Well, I like that. I've never heard of that actually with the spread, but no, that sounds pretty smart, man. You've done this before. No, I wasn't going to mention that at all, but no, that's a really good idea. I like that. I'm going to talk a little bit about food on number 7 here. Getting it done early though, that's where we just finished. Number 5, leveraging the holidays. This is where you can actually use it to your advantage. For a lot of people, we tend to have some time off over the holidays. So that means like less work that has to happen. So what could you do if you're not working, now you actually have more time? Well, depending on what your training goal is. If you're doing a strength phase, you could actually turn up the intensity. You could add a little bit more volume because you're going to be working less. So you're going to have less stress on your body. You might be able to sleep a little bit more. You might be able to eat a little bit more. You might be able to be in more of a parasympathetic state. So that elicits growth, that elicits recovery. I can tell you, like, Andrew, I know you would have done this with training camps. With football, you'd have your times of the year where it was probably just football and there was no other distractions. And that's where you could get better at your skills, get better at your sport. I found that over Christmas. We just had our oldest was born. He was under a year. He was just a blob still, you know, just pooping and farting and stuff. And we went to visit my mother or my wife's grandparents and uncles and stuff, all her side of the family. So we show up there. We're going to be there for about a week straight. And as soon as we walked in, they just wanted the baby. There's the baby. They took that baby and they burped that baby and they fed that baby and they changed that baby. They did everything that I normally do. And then they said, I said, well, what's happening the next day? I said, well, I want to go to the gym in the morning around these times here. They said, oh, go whenever you want. So we'll watch them. So really? Yeah, it's okay. I'll be gone like just an hour. I said, oh, take as much time as you want. So I trained a little bit more. And then I remember coming back. And as soon as I came back, there was a second breakfast ready for me. So you want to eat this? Sure, why not? I had a second breakfast. Then I had my lunch. Afternoon rolls around. Baby's down for a nap that grandma put it down for. I'm sitting there watching Rocky IV on VHS, sitting by the fire, fall asleep, have a little bit of a nap, wake up for Rocky to take him into the last round. Perfect timing. And then I trained again the next day. I spent that week having extra long workout sessions, extra calories, uninterrupted sleep most nights, and a nap almost every day. It was crazy because I was literally getting stronger every 2 days. I came to the gym, I'm like, wow, that feels lighter than it did 2 days ago. It was wild. It was like a training camp. The following year, when I knew that was coming, I set my training up accordingly for it to see, can I push myself harder knowing that these implications of recovery are going to be there for me? And they were, and it worked. So I was able to use the Christmas time to my advantage. I leveraged the holidays. I leveraged people around me. So if there's an option for you to do something like that, I highly recommend you do it. And that's what I'm telling some of my guys too, that they're taking time off work. So great. You know how you always say that the workouts are too long at 60 minutes? Well, now we can actually do a full 91 this time. So I'll actually write a little bit more work for them to do because they're not going into work. So if you have that option, definitely leverage the holidays yourself. Number six, take a diet break. Now, I don't think that all of us have to be 100%, you know, dialed in, drilled in 24/7. That's not what's necessary to be healthy. Like Vamshi's talking about dieting and he's hungry. Well, Vamshi, if you have a deadline, if you're going to get on stage in your banana hammock January 1, hey, maybe you got to stick to your nutrition plan 100%. But if you have a full year goal and your timeline doesn't end on December 31, and maybe you don't want to be counting every calorie you have at these social events, maybe you want to have some alcohol, maybe you want to stay up late and socialize with some of your people, talk to your coach and see if it's aligned with what you really want to get out of it. I would always say the people that work the hardest and work the longest, they're the ones who need a bit of a break over this holiday season. And it's okay. So for example, if I'm working with a fat loss person and we're going to do a diet break, all we're going to do is we're going to increase their calories. So you don't have to be in a deficit anymore. You know, for the next 2 weeks, I don't want you in a deficit. We're going to look at a total for the week. If you're doing 2,000 a day, then we're looking at 14,000 for the week. Okay, that's going to be your maintenance calories. So, oh, you got that social on Thursday and you got another one on Saturday. Okay, cool. Let's see if we can keep it at 14,000 within 7 days. So if you want to go a little overboard on those other days, the socials, no problem. Maybe cut it back on the few days prior so that your total still equals 14,000 by the end. It won't put you at a deficit, but it's not going to put you at a surplus either. So a diet break is not a bad idea. It doesn't mean throw caution to the wind and eat and drink whatever you want. But it does mean maybe just for 1 week, maybe for 5 days, maybe for 2 weeks, talk to your coach for sure, see if it makes sense. But just like pull back a little bit so you can live your social life or your family life that you want to do. Does that make sense to everyone? So like Dez, if your gym's not open, right? Maybe that's okay. Maybe you don't work out that day. But if you're like, hey, I have to get to this fitness goal by this time period here, then you find an alternative. Would anyone like to add to anything like that? They can think of any ideas or where that'd be a good idea or questions about it.
I'll just add one other thing, Chris, is that what I'll say to a lot of my guys is minimum effective dose to give them. Same thing. You got the spread, you got cookies, you got pie, you got cake. And a lot of times people just get excited because they see everything all in one spot. And then turns out they eat two sugar cookies and they don't even like sugar cookies. So it's like, decide on what's the thing that you actually enjoy. Be disciplined about a portion that you're actually going to enjoy it, but not also completely go overboard.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. When it comes to nutrition, a couple little tips and tricks that you can use. If you're on the camp that you're like, I don't want to gain any body fat over the break. What you can also do is you can leverage things such as fasting. So that scenario I mentioned before about a maintenance number for someone, say 2,000 calories, let's say that their number on a daily basis was 1750. That's their caloric content. But they're going to have a large meal two times a week because of social events. You can use a fast. All you got to do is skip one meal. And I suggest that if you keep your eating window as small as possible, so that means your fasting window gets a little bit longer, it's going to have more benefits for body composition and fat oxidization as well. So what you could do there is like, hey, Thursday night's going to be this big social event. So what you're going to do Thursday morning is you're just going to skip breakfast. on average, if someone's taking in 1750 calories a day, their breakfast is probably going to be about 575 calories if it's split three ways. What they can do is skip that breakfast, and they know they're going to have more calories at the dinner time, and they end up still being around their number that keeps them in a bit of a deficit. That can work really good. Believe it or not, a lot of us eat less when we're not stressed. So knowing that, your appetite might actually be down a little bit anyway. You might not actually need the same amount of calories that you would normally indulge with before. So fasting can be a beneficial component if you want to still stay on track in a bit of a caloric deficit. If you're gonna overdo it at night, just make sure the next morning you just skip your breakfast, or you can even skip one of the meals the day before. The body doesn't work on 24-hour clocks only for muscle growth, fat burning. It doesn't. Okay, there's 365 days a year. Think about it. If you ever messed up on one day, but you were dialed in for 364, did that sabotage everything? Not at all. So the body works over time. So if you have a couple of days of a higher caloric intake, you can have a couple of days of strict low caloric intake and still have a bit of a total weekly number that'll put you in a position of fat loss or fat gain. So sometimes people think one day at a time, and it's like, no, you can go 7 days at a time there. So fasting can be very beneficial for that. The other side of it, okay, that's for someone who's wanting to lose weight over the break. One thing that you could do is you could actually, if your goal is to increase your size and you have more time, the easiest thing you can do is add more volume to your training. An easy way to add more volume is literally add one more set to every exercise you do. Just one more set. So if coach writes you a program, it's an upper body push day, and there's on average four sets for every exercise. If you've got the time to be there and you're not going to have any stress from work and you're going to be able to eat more, add an extra set, do five sets, do six sets. You can go the other route because you know eventually it's going to go back down. But if you got the time to do more work, I highly suggest adding in and doing more work. That was my number eight. My number nine, I like to say, is earn your dessert. Now, this can be literally dessert, or this can be something that is not beneficial for your health. So what I mean by that is it could be alcohol, it could be staying up late. And I say, if this is something you want to do that you know is not going to be moving the needle towards your health, make sure you do what you have to do first. In our household, we always say, we work first, we play second, right? So we got to get our work done before we get to play. It's the same with food, alcohol, social events. So that kind of goes back to my number two about planning your workouts accordingly. And then also going back to my number four, getting it done early. So if you do something earlier in the day, then you have a social event later, hey, you've earned your dessert. You can have a little bit of alcohol. The body's going to run into problems when you're not stimulating it with exercise, and then you go into surpluses of highly processed foods or toxic things like alcohol. And alcohol is a toxin, no matter what study that your Aunt Diane shows you. I saw this on Facebook that alcohol, one glass of wine a day is as good as walking up and down a flight of stairs for health. It's like, no, alcohol is still a poison. Number 10, this is my favorite one. This is my favorite tip for the month of December, for the holidays, for that last week, is have grace. Have grace for yourself. You don't have to be dialed in 100%. Your actions of a 1 week period will not derail anyone. Unless you're Paddy Pimblett. That guy goes wild in 1 week. The UFC fighter, he's a featherweight, and then all of a sudden he balloons up to like 185, like 10 days after his bouts, and he just eats anything and everything that he can. It's wild. But for yourselves, you can have some grace. If you fall off a little bit, if you miss a workout here or there, if you eat a little bit more, if you have some alcohol, if you stay up late, it's okay. You don't have to do anything drastic. You just have to get back to doing the day-to-day things you were doing prior, and the body will adjust. It'll adapt the way it's supposed to. It'll remember how to do those things on a regular basis. You'll be good to go. So having grace is my number 10 thing there for you. So those are my ways to navigate around the holidays, just from years of experience personally with myself, and then also with clients, some of the other guys too. Now, Andrew, is there anything there that I didn't mention that you're like, you know what, I tell my guys to do this, or I've practiced this in the past myself?
I think you nailed it, man. You did real well. Not really a lot of separate things that I would really share. What I try to frame for people is like know yourself, figure out what your thing is. So if you are the person that really looks forward to Aunt Patty's sweet potato pie or whatever the thing is, or if your thing is having a couple drinks with the family over the holidays, then still just go in with a little bit of a plan, and whatever it is, like make the decision and stick to the decision. Right.
You think it would be beneficial if you told someone your decision?
For sure.
Like your coach.
Big time.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Say, I got this thing going on. Here's my decision in advance. I'm going to do. I always find that going into social events, if I don't know what they're going to make for food, and I don't want to play Russian roulette over here, I eat before I go. I just eat a meal. Even if they're like providing dinner or something, I'll eat at home. Then I'll show up there. If it's nothing I want, you know, I'll just say, no, thank you, I'm good. Or if it's stuff that I shouldn't eat, I might just grab a little bit of it, right? But my desire to eat the food is going to be way lower if I've eaten just before I've gone. Same thing with, I know there's going to be a low protein option, maybe like those pierogies. Right, you slam a protein shake on the drive over. You're gonna have way more willpower to say no to certain things when your body's already full of stuff there. At the same time, you could do the opposite. You could train just before you go. You could do a workout session and then go and see someone. You'll actually just make smart decisions if you just got a pump from the gym. Those things there. Hello, what's family night? That's good. So I'll open up the floor now to any questions that you guys might have regarding how to navigate around the Christmas holidays or some things you might, we haven't mentioned here that we could maybe help out with.
If nobody's unmuting real quick, the one other thing that I would just say, and you touched on it earlier, Chris, is find a method of cardio or some version, because you hear that a lot, whether it's going to be cold, this and that. And so if that's the case, you got to find an indoor version, find something that you can do.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I did, Andrew, you might be familiar with this. I did one of the open workouts the other day. It was 50 wall balls, 50 burpee box jump overs, 3 rounds as fast as you can go. That was awful. And the worst part was, like, I'm 40 years old now, is I walk into the gym to train as my wife and another guy were like, hey, come on, let's go. I said, what are we doing? They said, we're doing this. I said, when? And they said, in 1 minute. So I just took the pants off. I had shorts underneath, by the way. It was one of those workouts. Took the pants off, threw on a knee sleeve, fell to the floor, did one push-up, did one bodyweight squat, grabbed a 20-pound ball and went right at it. And it was, that first round wasn't a warm-up. It was like, you know, 30 seconds in, you're like, yo, knees, what are you doing? Shoulders are like, what are you doing? But that was cardio. That was a good little cardio blaster there. It was 20 minutes of pure pain for that workout. But yeah, fine cardio. Cool. Any questions, Dez? Vamshi, iPhone 2?
Am I iPhone 2?
I'm not. Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know why I'm coming through as iPhone 2. I'm just wondering if that's me that's talking to you. Are you talking to iPhone 2?
I'm talking to iPhone 2. What's your name?
My name is Tony Collard. I work with Greg Foley.
Oh, okay. Okay, Tony. Tony, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions, but I kind of got something I want to add. Just, you know, to everything that everybody's saying and you know, all this stuff. But I think the one thing that if I were to think of my own experience, you know, you kind of, it's giving yourself a guilt trip if you fall off the wagon. If you fall off the wagon, just say you ate two desserts, or you know, you soften your frontal lobe, you've had a couple too many beer, the next day you're probably more sore than you are, is don't feel guilty about it. Because I think the guilt is harder on your health than it is to just say, hey, I had a good time last night. Let's get back to it. Let's get going. let's get going again, you know, and maybe fast, or, you know, watch your diet for a day or two, like really tight, you know, and that gets you to New Year's maybe, where you got New Year's Eve to worry about. And, you know, like the biggest thing is listening to people about, oh, I did this, I did that. Like, okay, you know, give it up. It's over. You've done it. Move on and, you know, hopefully get something out of it, perhaps. But to drop the whole guilt thing on yourself, that's, I think that that's, you know, I think that's, and that's with all things. You know, we all make mistakes. We all, you know, we all err in our lives, and just being guilty about it, where really it hasn't hurt anybody but ourselves. So who cares, right? As long as you're not, as long as you're not like overindulging. So if you take all these steps that you've said, you know, and you just so happen to eat two desserts, you know, and if you're going to feel guilty about it, well, then it was, it, you know, it can ruin the whole thing. And it is a special time of year, you know, for most people it is anyway. So and that's just all I wanted to say.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. And I was kind of alluding to that when I talked about having grace for yourself. Yeah. It's like if you fall off a little bit, it's not the end of the world. Two desserts aren't going to make or break, you know, your total fitness, right?
Not at all. You know, and just that, just to go back about, oh, is Chris on there?
Yes.
Sorry, just to go back to the wins while I was trying to say something earlier, is I just came back from a 2-week Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S. So I'm from Canada. I'm Canadian. My best friend lives down there. And, you know, I had this whole thing with Greg before I went. And I actually came home and lost 6 pounds while I was away. So that was a win for me. Turkey and dessert and everything.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So how did you drop 6 pounds? What were the key things?
You know, to be honest, I didn't overly watch so much what I was eating, but how much I was eating. Mm-hmm. Because I was with friends who have no concept of what good food and good eating is. Where my whole life has been good eating, their whole life has not. So what's in the house, I eat. I really watched my protein. I fasted where I could. You know, I kept the, well, there were days there was no alcohol, but I kept the alcohol very, very low. And, I chose very carefully when we went out to eat. And at the end of the day, I wasn't sure how I would fare. But when I got on the scale, you know, I left, I was 249. And I got back this morning, you know, for my first workout and my check-in, and I was 243. So it's not bad. My journey's really been good. I'm really pleased. So that's a win for me.
Congratulations. That's awesome to hear.
Thanks.
I'm a big fan of biofeedback. When you're indulging in foods that may not be your norm, that might be highly processed. If the next day you wake up and you feel like a bag of shit, like, physically, sometimes that's a big indicator, like, hey, what you just put in your body wasn't great. And if you're okay with it, no problem. If you're not okay with it, you kind of learn from it. So if I go to Andrew's house for dinner there, and the 30 kids are making this big Smarty ice cream cake thing, and I love ice cream, and who doesn't like Smarties? I would have a slice just because I'm a polite guy. I don't want to be rude. The kids are making it. But I know that if I had like four slices, I already know I would feel like trash the next day. And I don't want to feel like that. And I know what that feeling is. So it's not worth it for me. But let's say I go over to Dez's house, and Dez is like, yo, I got this great bottle of scotch. Okay. This is like a 1930. This thing is old. This thing is vintage scotch. Here, we're going to polish it off together. And I'm going to tell you the philosophy of life. And I'd be like, okay, cool, let's go. And all of a sudden, like, man, I forgot I really love scotch. And we polish off that bottle. And the next day, I feel like trash. I would be like, you know what? It was worth it. I'll feel like that, and I'm okay with it. Because I tend to like scotch over Smarties ice cream cake, right? So you kind of need to be willing to be okay with some of those things too, right?
Well, I'm at a stage in my life where I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I know what I can consume. I know it's fun to consume. You know, that's not really so bad. So I really picked and choose, you know, what I ate while I was there. And at the end of the day, I mean, I had a great time, and I really enjoyed myself. And I ate, you know, kind of that food that's a little bit prohibitive, but I only ate a little bit of it. But I did a lot of fasting, and I didn't eat as much as I normally would or could have. So I focused on getting my protein first and then watching the calories. And I didn't worry so much about the carbs and the fats.
That's awesome, man. That's good. That's a good lesson learned. And now you can apply that to this Christmas and then all the Christmases afterwards. Wicked.
Absolutely.
Okay, boys and boys, it is 6:58 here. So I'll open up to one more question if someone has. And if not, I'll just wrap her up and I'll see some of you at Costa Rica and the rest I'll see in early January. So if that is it, I will say thank you very much for coming tonight. I wish you all a very happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all the jazz. And hopefully this was a bit beneficial for you, maybe give you a few ideas of how to stay on track. And if at any time you want a little bit of some feedback, you know, you can always reach out to your coaches. You can reach out to me as well on WhatsApp. I've had no problem giving you some of my ideas. So thank you so much, boys. And
thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Cheers, Chris.
Cheers, fellas.